It's time for The Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's The Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston. Well, it's kind of a, well, not a great looking Saturday morning out here. It was raining a little bit on my way to the station. Weather seemed a little bit weird. Wow. I'm looking at a microphone repair. They're all a little strange here.
Yeah. That mic is no go.
A lot of tape on that microphone this morning.
Yeah, we got a call.
Anyway, welcome to the Car Doctor program. You can hear past programs of the Car Doctor on my podcast site. It's Podomatic, johnapaul.podomatic.com. You can do any kind of searching for the Car Doctor program. You can find it there and all kinds of information. I was at the Museum of Transportation, Lars Anderson Auto Museum, last night, checking out some of their exhibit. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, we got a couple tickets to give away. Speaking of car museums, we have a couple tickets to give away to the Heritage Plantation and Gardens down in Sandwich. They have quite the automotive exhibit going on down there this week as well. Well, I have the opportunity to drive a different car. I don't want to say every week, but I have the opportunity to switch cars a lot. And a lot of people say to me, you know, that is going to be the best thing that you can do. There are some car subscription services. Porsche has one now. Volvo has one. But Prime Motors actually has a new program called Prime Flip. And with us on the phone is Amanda Rosenberg. Amanda, good morning and welcome to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
You guys have come up with a pretty novel program called Prime Flip. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Sure. So Prime Flip is actually a monthly membership service that our dealership group is now offering in the Westwood area. About, you know, if you live within 50 miles or would like the car to be dropped off within 25 miles, we can offer that to you. So basically what it is we offer a variety of vehicles for one monthly fee, and anytime you need to switch out into a different car to better fit your lifestyle needs, we're able to deliver that to you. So if you need a pickup truck to do some weekend projects, you just go into our app, request, you know, to have a truck delivered, and our concierge team will deliver that to you. If you'd like to switch into a fancier sports car for a date night, again, you'll just go in our app, and we constantly can deliver to you whatever is needed for your daily needs.
So, and kind of give us an idea what sort of the width of cars that this encompasses. This is, I mean, Prime has a variety of dealerships, and you guys spent like a gazillion dollars up on Route 1, so you have a beautiful array of dealerships up there. Tell us about what kind of cars that if somebody opted into this membership, what kind of cars they could take advantage of.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So we will offer brands such as Audi, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Acura. We have some Genesis, and then we have Toyota, Ford, and Chevrolets as well.
So, like you said, if I wanted a pickup truck because I had a couple of weekends worth of things that I wanted to do, or if I now, does this include sort of you mentioned Porsche, some of their cars as well as from the Chevrolet side, like Corvette?
We don't have any Corvettes, but we do have the big, you know, Suburbans.
Yeah.
but it's all for one monthly fee, which is $19.95 a month. Our members will pay a one-time $500 joining fee, but we will take care of all the maintenance that the vehicles have to undergo. You don't have to worry about excise tax or anything like that, and insurance is also included as well.
So I was talking to somebody who recently leased a fairly high-end car, and they're paying almost $900 a month plus insurance. And they're pretty close to that, you know, by the time they're done with excise tax and they happen to live in Rhode Island, so there's car tax. By the time they're done, they're actually closing in on a price pretty close to this. And this is all inclusive with, so like you said, no sales tax, no excise.
Sales tax is included.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you have all of these things rolled into this price, and you have quite the variety of cars. What, you know, as a company, what made you think, there was a need for a program like this?
So, you know, we're always trying to be innovative as a dealer group and offering our customers the latest and greatest that's available in the industry. So when we learned about this type of program, we decided we wanted to bring it to New England, which has not been done before, and just see, you know, if it was something that we would be able to offer to our customers. And we're glad that it's worked out and that the New England customers are able to be a part of something like this.
And it's pretty limited too, right? There's you're trying it out with just a 50 membership group, right?
Correct. We are limiting it to 50 members to start off, so space is definitely limited.
And so this makes it, on top of this, this makes it kind of an exclusive club to be in too.
I would say so, yes. And there's been a lot of buzz already so far, so we're very excited.
Yeah, I know. I read about it in a couple of different publications. It sounds really unique and really fun for people. And if it's something that, you know, fits into your budget, and if you're somebody who sort of gets bored, and leasing now is, I think, in the luxury car side, about what 75% of customers lease vehicles, and I think leasing in general is up around what 25 or 30%. So this is a really exciting twist on the idea of leasing too.
Definitely, and we like to think of it as, you know, like you said about you've got a friend that's paying a similar amount. We like to think about it as you're getting a multi-vehicle garage at your fingertips, all for one monthly fee, right? You know, we deliver with a full tank of gas. Our concierge will deliver it, whether you need it at your office, your home, at the kids' baseball field, wherever that is. Walk through the car with you, make sure you feel comfortable, and really just offer you that A-plus service that you would get with any other buying or leasing experience as well. But we would deliver that every time.
And on top of that, it gives you a good opportunity to show off a little bit, doesn't it?
I'd say so, yes.
You know, if you're at your kid's baseball tournament and all of a sudden, you know, your Chevrolet Suburban disappears and a Mercedes shows up, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody that had interest in using it for their high school reunion.
Absolutely. What's the commitment? Is it a commitment for a year?
No, so it's actually it's a 45-day commitment, and then monthly after that.
Oh, okay. So if you want to just do it for the summer, for instance, if you wanted to, you know, I last summer I was at someone's house and they live in Florida in the wintertime, and they come up here, and if you're like, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to do this for a few months so I can drive some unique vehicles and kind of hang out on Cape Cod and have some fun, kind of an interesting way to kind of split it all up, and it sounds like a lot of fun. So for people that can do it, and do you guys have a dedicated website for Prime Flip, or is it just go to your regular website? How does that work?
Yes, so please visit primeflip.com. We have lots of information up there, and it really breaks down the process just because it is a new phenomenon going on in our area. So you can learn more about how it works on our website, and we also have social media, and that's at prime_flip on Instagram and at primeflip on Facebook.
So you can find it out on all the social platforms. Find out and recently, by the way, I'm a Prime customer. I bought a Hyundai from your Hyundai dealership down on the South Shore. Joe Tewksbury and his crew, it was a good experience. And the sales guy, young guy Christian. He's been in contact with me more than my doctor has. He sends me an email every once in a while and wants to know how everything's going, how I like the car still. Good experience all the way around with the car purchase. So you guys do a good job training your team and really the idea of staying in touch with your customers, you do a good job with it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I think since we really started out as a family business, we definitely maintain our core values of being, making the customer feel at home.
Good stuff. So find you on Facebook and Instagram. Find out more at primeflip.com and check out the Prime website just because you guys sell just about everything there is, I think. So certainly worth taking a look at, and just a lot of good things. Amanda, thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday morning and joining us on the Car Doctor Radio program.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Amanda Rosenberg, daughter of David Rosenberg, the owner of Prime Motors. And it's a pretty unique program. I mean, it sounds pricey at $2,000 a month, but if you're leasing a super high end car, Maserati or something, you're going to spend $4,000 a month. But a person I work with recently leased a high end BMW, and I think payments were close to $800 a month. So then I think insurance was $3,000 a year, excise tax.
You don't have to carry insurance. Did I miss something in that part of the interview or something?
With Prime Flip, you don't have to carry insurance.
Really?
So the $2,000 a month is sort of all in, all costs, as opposed to when you lease a car, you still have to carry sort of a maximum amount of insurance. So I mean, you lease a car, you still have to insure it, you still have to
pay the excise tax,
all that stuff. So this, again, on the surface, it sounds like it might be a little bit expensive, but on the other hand, if you have the money to do it and you're somebody who likes to drive something a little bit different all the time, I don't know, it's a pretty unique feature. And the idea that you can get a Chevrolet Suburban for, okay, you're going to go on vacation with the family, you want to make sure there's enough room.
Yep.
Put everybody in it, drive the Suburban for a month, and then you decide, hey, a Porsche might not be such a bad thing for a month. And then you decide, I'm going to be around for the wintertime, maybe some sort of four-wheel drive vehicle. I'm going to go up to the mountains to go skiing.
Or just to get around.
Just to get around.
the snow's been falling the past couple of years.
Yeah. The idea, like I said, the idea to show off a little bit for, and the idea, there's not a huge commitment involved in here either. And, there has been a couple of, over the years, there has been a couple of companies that have leased or rented daily almost high-end cars. You can go out and rent a Ferrari for the day or a Porsche for the day.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, but those, somebody I know rented a Porsche 911 for a weekend, and I want to say it was almost $1,000. So, and they did it because it was their birthday, and they said, I'm going to buy myself something for my birthday.
Something to do, fun.
Yeah, so, but the idea that you can commit to something like that, and I don't know what model Porsche it is, but the idea it's a Porsche, and still the idea that if you're at if you're at Salty's baseball game and you're there with your Suburban, and all of a sudden the concierge service comes over, looks for you, and they say, oh, we have your new Mercedes here, and you're like, oh, they'll be fine, thank you. Take this dirty old car away and bring my nice clean car to me. And it's full of gas. Good. Okay. Yeah.
And so, Do you have to commit to it for each vehicle for a week, or you can just change it?
It sounds like it's for a month.
Okay.
So a month. But you only have to commit for 45 days. So,
right.
So, you know, I think – I have a feeling if you can afford it, unless you get really – unless you really did like 12 cars in a year and you're like, you know what, that was kind of fun, but I like having all my junk in my car and, you know, find – you know, I like to preset my 36 radio stations and, you know, the idea that you know, stuff is where you want it to be, and you know that you reach down into the door pocket and your whatever is down there, and your sunglasses are over here, and your cell phone charger's over here. And but I think for a while it'd be pretty fun.
Similar, yeah, it would be neat for a while. Yeah. After, yeah, I think after like a few months, I'd be like, all right, I need something so that I know where my stuff is. You're right, because
yeah.
I do
yeah.
keep. You don't realize you keep stuff in your car, and then you reach for something and it's not there, and you're yeah. like, oh. Where is it?
When we sold our old car, when we bought the new Hyundai, I was amazed at the stuff I had hidden in it. You know, like under the floor.
Under the floor?
In the back cargo area, there was a storage compartment. And, you know, I opened that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about there's an air compressor, a little jump start thing, a set of jumper cables still, some wipe things to, if you get dirty, gloves, a flashlight, bottle of spray wax, and a couple of chamois things. And it's like, oh, I forgot most of the stuff was all back here. And the idea that, you know, it's there when you needed it. And you can't do that as much. And that's why driving the cars that I do for, you know, days at a time, I have sort of my bag that I carry with me that has all of the stuff that I sort of need, but not everything I really want. You know, it's but so, you know, first thing I do when I get into a road test car is get the seat all adjusted, Bluetooth my phone to the car so I don't have to worry about that. Find a place to put my sunglasses that's going to be obvious so I don't lose them. We have to have name badges at work to get in and out of the building like we do here at the radio station. Make sure that comes and goes with me. And those are things that if you're in your same car all the time, you don't think about that. You know that you're going to reach over and your sunglasses are going to be here and your whatever is going to be there. So anyway, so thank you to Amanda for joining us this morning and letting us know about that. You know, there's flip everything. What is it? Flip my house, is flip my this, that, yeah. flip my cars. So the idea that Prime Flip came up with that, pretty neat idea. So why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we're not going to do trivia, but we are going to give some tickets away to the, Heritage Plantation Gardens down in Sandwich. We have two tickets to give away, so we're going to do that. But they have a great new automotive show down there, and something I want to take a look at myself. Then we'll also talk about the Bay State Antique Auto Show coming up as well. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. If you would like to join us, 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030. We'll be right back. Her mind was dragging, and I said, get some sleep, we'll be.
Just give me some of your love, she said. I don't want your Chevrolet. I don't want your Chevrolet. I don't want nothing in the world you got. No, you can't do nothing for me. You can't do nothing for me. I'll buy you a diamond ring. Buy you a diamond ring. I'll buy you a diamond ring. If you just give me some of your love.
I don't and
want
I
your diamond ring.
And welcome back. Well, you probably heard a somewhat dated commercial in there. Don't go to see the USS Cole because it's probably not there. But anyway.
Oops.
But we deleted that old commercial. So who knows how they find their way into the system like that. But I have a couple tickets, just two, to give away to the Heritage Museum and Gardens. That's down in Sandwich, Mass. It's Grove Street in Sandwich. And they have a new exhibit in their round barn that is definitely worth taking a look at. But if you've never been to the Heritage Museum and Gardens, the gardens is a big part of it. It is a, once stuff starts to bloom down there, it is beautiful down there. And they have, if you have a little bit of mobility issues, they have like a little shuttle thing you can ride around. It's really a hidden gem in Sandwich. And the last time I was there, it looked different. And we were in the round barn area. And when I was there last, there was like a theater. And I actually gave a talk in the theater. And there was a little plaque on the wall that said, John Paul was here. So I went walking around going, where's my plaque? And it wasn't just me. It was a bunch of other people, too. I asked somebody, and I said, and they said, oh, we're actually put some of our cars that are not on display inside where the theater was. And they invited us in to look around. So we got kind of a little extra tour while we were there. But we have two tickets to give away to the Heritage Museum and Gardens. Thank you to Judith down at the museum for taking care of us on that. And I think we're going to give them away to the, well, it's AM 950, so why don't we give them away to the ninth caller?
So, oh, God, you said ninth.
What do you think I was going to say, 950th? 95th? No, ninth caller. So if you call in at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030, and you are the ninth caller, Dennis will say you're number nine and you won. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be the number ninth caller. Sonny and Cher rocked it in the 60s in an article. The groovy husband and wife duo also had a charm, a knack for writing, and choosing the right songs to perform and record, and legit musical talent. It helps that they were attractive, too. I don't know about that. Sonny, a compact guy, had the hair, the stash, the bell-bottom. Cher brought her own Smoky brand to the team, it says here. So they're popular. They ended up with their own television show in the 70s, and even after divorcing, outlasted their legal parting to still get great TV and concert audience, rocking the aisles throughout the decade and beyond. And they drove a cool pair of Mustangs. Car makers along courted Hollywood and other celebrity types into driving their products.
Can I just break in here for a
minute? Absolutely.
We have a winner.
We do.
So that was fast.
Was it?
It was very fast.
Was the same person called nine times?
A couple of them called a couple times.
That's all right. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You get their name and address, and we'll mail them out a couple tickets. So, like, Clark Gable drove a Jaguar XK120 and a Mercedes-Benz 300 SL Gullwing. That certainly helped sell a fair number of those premium sports cars in the 50s. Cars have been part of movie and TV scripts since the beginning, but the art, science, and business of product placement really crystallized in the 60s by putting James Bond behind the wheel of an Aston Martin and Goldfinger and Thunderball, and of course casting the Highland Green Metallic 68 Mustang Fastback in Steve McQueen's movie Bullet. It isn't abundantly clear how a pair of San Jose-built 1966 Mustangs had earmarked for Sonny and Cher, but they did, and they were handed over to the king of customizers, George Barris, for his whole brand of remodeling. Sonny's car was designed around a golden brown color palette, and Cher's dazzling and much more feminine pink motif. The late Barris commented, Sonny and Cher go back a long way with him. They were the hippest young couple I can remember. They dressed way out and wild. Barris' wife Shirley helped them with each choose the colors for the car. Ford was definitely willing to participate in this surefire thing. Both cars were 289 V8 convertibles, automatic transmissions. Sonny's car was an A-code 4-barrel carburetor. Cher's was slightly less aggressive with a 200-horsepower 2-barrel carburetor car. Both have power steering, power brakes, no air conditioning, and even a floor-shifted 3-speed automatic, you know, the usual fake wood trim, full repaints of the car. So where are these cars today? So what would it be like to own Sonny and Cher's actual cars? So You know, they're out there somewhere, I guess. So who knows? Maybe they'll show up at the auction down in Connecticut. I don't think so, though. Haven't seen them yet.
So I've recently come to the conclusion that I like today's modern cars for their technological conveniences. I was in a car that didn't have Bluetooth. I was in a car that didn't have power windows. I was in a car that didn't have air conditioning. The car looked really cool and sounded awesome. But, man, it was work just to do anything. So I mean, I grew up with these cars. I grew up with the cars without all this stuff.
So what kind of car was this?
It was a Mustang, a 71 Mustang.
All right.
It was, I mean, it sounded, it was amazing to get in. And,
yeah.
But, yeah.
No fun?
I mean, it was fun, but it's fun for a little while. But then if I had to go places and do things, not fun.
Well, you know, back in 1971, you didn't have a phone.
No, I understand this. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a young buck, but I've come accustomed to the conveniences of modern day cars.
Well, it was a couple years ago. I was in a car and somebody flipped down the passenger side visor and went, "No mirror?"
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, all cars today have vanity mirrors. A lot of cars have heated seats and some have heated steering wheels. My new car doesn't have any of those things, but it's okay. But there, you know, people do get used to features. It's funny because the car that I bought was sort of the base model and it had only auto down windows, not auto up windows. And I guess that was supposed to be like a big deal. Well, you know, you move up to the next option package, you get auto up. I can hold the button. It's okay. It's not that much work. You know, is it work to actually crank a handle and wind the windows up and down? I'd probably get a little bit bored with that. But yeah.
So on that note, I brought my car in to get, there was a recall and there was something else that I need. Oh, whatchamacallit. I can't think right now. The sunroof, the sealer, the gasket.
Yeah. It was torn. Right?
Yeah, it was ripping off. So I had to get that fixed. And so they, to do the recall, they had to take it off from the battery and whatnot. So everything reset. And the auto up feature didn't work on my window. And I was like, what the heck? So luckily, I mean, I know how to fix it. So it was easy fix. But I was just like, wait, why is this not going up? See, you get used to things, and then you don't think of things, and it gets annoying.
Put it all the way up.
Yep, and hold it for a few seconds, and put it down, and then.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an employee's husband here got all panicked because they had a new battery put in their car, and the only thing that worked afterwards was the sunroof and the driver's window. And they're like, what's wrong with my car? And I said, no, it's not that big a deal. Just needs to be reset. Here's what you do. Put all the windows down manually. Put them all up manually. Hold it down for 3 seconds. Hold it up for 3 seconds. And he thought I was a genius afterwards. But on the other hand, the dealer should have done all that.
Yes.
And, in fact, when they disconnected everything, depending on what they disconnected, they should have used some sort of memory saver device. So, did your radio stations go away and stuff?
Yeah, they had to reset all those.
And they should have either told you about it, or if they actually followed their own directions, it says record the customer's radio stations so you can put them back in. People don't do that, though.
No.
Because you get paid X amount of time to work on the car, and if you shave a minute or two off, it's money you get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Our phone number 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Phone lines are open if you want to call and chat about, you know, maybe you have a car problem we can try to help you with, car question, maybe you're thinking about buying something, maybe you want to know if there's some sort of technical bulletin or something about your car, we can try to look that up too. We always have the All Data system fired up and ready to go. The Bay State Antique Auto Club Auto Show is coming up on Sunday. And that is Sunday, July 7th, so about 2 weeks away by my best of my recollections. And it's the 48th annual Antique Auto Show, Car Corral, and Trading B. And remember, that's at the Endicott Estate. And I always say I'm going to go, and I never do. In fact, John from Bay State called me up and said, do you think you can do your show from there? And I said, John, the show's, you know, on Sunday, and my show's on Saturday. I don't think the Irish guys want to give up their time. But it was very nice of them to ask anyway. So I'm not able to do that. But it is good, and they give awards for first, second, and third place in 29 classes. And again, there's a flea market and a car corral, and there's food, and there's a DJ, so there's music playing all the time. And it's a good time, so it's definitely worth going there. It's definitely worth checking it out, and it's a phenomenal place. So go there. I have been there a couple of times, not a lot, but I have been there a couple of times. So, but it is definitely worth checking out and see what's going on there. Well, apparently, cars from all the Texas and Florida floods are starting to make their way to the market. And I have some tips from a company that says how to avoid buying a used hurricane flood vehicle. In an effort to protect consumers from unwittingly buying flood-damaged vehicles, Cargo provides CheckThatVIN.com reports that include flood brand in its reporting. CheckThatVIN is the most comprehensive vehicle title history database in the industry, according to, well, them. Holtsville, New York is where they're headquartered. With hurricanes wreaking havoc in Florida and surrounding areas, hundreds and thousands of flooded cars have hit the market and are available for sale to unsuspecting individual buyers. Just recently, I read that all of those cars that were in floods, that were marked as flooded cars, all went to an auction. Now, they should have been sold as parts cars or something, but could they have been making their way there? Then maybe. Carco also provides open recall information in its reports, providing another layer of safety to its consumers. In a recent report by ABC Action News, almost 750,000 cars have unreported safety recalls. So it's always a good idea, even on your own car, to check to make sure that if you have a recall, and you can go to National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's website, and now you can actually put in your vehicle identification number, and it will tell you whether there's recalls that have to be done. And our friends at IC Cars also have a very unique feature. They have a VIN scanner now, so you can, providing your car has an actual barcode for the vehicle identification number. Some General Motors cars use a, what's the square code called? QR code.
QR code. Yeah.
They use theirs, but a lot of cars use a barcode. And you put this app in your phone from IC Cars, and you go over and you click on it, and it tells you what kind of car it is. It tells you what the average price is, what they sell for. And then it also has a link that will send that vehicle identification number to NHTSA. And then it'll let you know if there's any recalls that were done. So, like, when I was selling my car, I scanned the barcode in my car. And it said that typically my car is going to sell for X amount. And the... And it also said that there was no recalls available. So, good stuff. Speaking of which, our buddy John Diamond's on the phone. Mr. Diamond.
How are you this morning, sir?
I am doing good. How about you?
Not bad. I want to thank you very much for your kind plug you always give us.
Well,
And people are starting to think that you may not show up.
Yeah, well, I don't know why. You know, I've been at this radio station for 10 years, and I haven't showed up here for 10. And I was at the other radio station for 10 years, and I think I showed up a couple times. But
well,
yeah.
Hope springs eternal.
Yeah, there you go. But how's the show coming together?
Well, I don't have my information sheet, so I think you have more. It's doing very well.
Yeah.
We have many, many classes into the 30s, and each class has three awards. And
yep.
You have a decent car, you may get one, and any kind of car 25 years or older is welcome. Cars, trucks, military, anything. And we have classes for just about everything. And incidentally, it's at the Route 128 East Street exit. It's very easy to get to in Dedham. And we open the gates between 7 and 7:30, and we give the awards out at 3 on the nose so people aren't trapped in there forever.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if you want to go to the show and you want to bring a car in the show, you're also not obligated to stay the whole day. If you don't care about winning an award, but you just want to put your car on display for a few hours, you don't have to stay the whole day, do you?
We'll get you out.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Which is different. I know the, very popular down on Cape Cod and Hyannis is the Father's Day car show, but you're locked in there for the day. Once your car's on Main Street, you can't leave till the end of the day. And that sometimes is a long day, especially if it's a warm day.
I guarantee you it's always been a very warm day. But we have plenty on hand. We have very reasonable food wagons and ice cream trucks, and we're not out to rob you on that stuff.
That's good. And are you going to have a car there?
I probably will. Members' cars aren't eligible for judging, but you got to get there somehow, so you might as well drive your old car.
And you have a place to park, right?
Absolutely.
I remember one year that I came. I think I chatted with the folks at Bay State, and you guys actually saved a spot for me. And I wasn't driving. And this is how long ago it was. I was road testing a Lincoln Town Car, I think. But you guys let me park the town car I was driving in one of the spots. So,
well, I guarantee if you show up, you'll have a place of honor.
I don't need that because the parking lot's right down the street and you run that shuttle, but it's still only about a 5 or 10 minute walk from
at the most.
Yeah.
And it's free.
So either way, if you decide you want to wait for the shuttle, you wait for the shuttle. If not, you decide you want to walk, and that's a good thing. If you bring one of your cars, what's the car you're going to bring?
I might bring my get dust off my 39 Ford convertible, but today people are bringing a lot newer cars. Yep. But that's about it for me.
How many cars do you own, John?
I have about 4, but I'm paring down the fleet. I'm sort of getting along in years, and I don't want to have to leave it to somebody else to disperse them. If you have any interest, I'd be glad to show you a special rate. I can remember the last time you were there, you helped judge the covered wagon class.
I did, right. It was the covered wagon class. I think you're right. So it was, I've only been a judge. I've been a judge twice at car shows. And one was a local little show, and it was the first time I was ever a judge at something. And I talked to somebody I know who's been a judge at a lot of different car shows, and I said, these people with especially specific classes, they know so much more about the cars than I'll ever do. In fact, I was at a show with somebody, and it was a brassier show, and they looked at something and said, no, the way that headlamp is in, it's turned the wrong angle, and they took off. And I'm like, I would never know that. And the guy said to me, here's what you do. Pick the cars you like. And I'm like, oh, that's not, I said, that's how complicated it is. And he goes, you look at the workmanship, you look at a lot of things, but they said, if you really like the car and you think they did a good job with it, and it's not a bad way to judge it either. And I said, oh, okay. All right. So, but then I went to a real fancy show one time where I was supposed to wear a hat and a blue blazer and all that nonsense. And I'm like, you know what? And then I found out there's shenanigans that go on in the judging room too, so.
Well, we don't have what we call professional judges. Ours is very cursory, and we're pretty fair with everybody with very few complaints, and the good stuff shows up in the wash.
Yeah, it always does. And again, it is such a good show, and it's a show that for people that want to and I'll always say it, if you're interested in the old car hobby and you're interested in buying a certain kind of car, go talk to people at car shows. That's where you learn anything. That's where you learn everything. That's where you learn where the mistakes are. And somebody emailed me the other day, and they were looking for a 1963 Volkswagen. And they're like, "Do you know where I can find one?" And I'm like, "Go to a Volkswagen show and talk to the people there. They always know where they're tucked away somewhere, and there might be one for sale." So
very knowledgeable people on those cars too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And we have a car corral with we get anywhere up to 200 cars in it. There's not much that isn't there for you to look at, even if you don't want to buy it. You'll at least learn something.
Yeah. No, one of my old coworkers brought a. They had kind of an odd, I don't know if it was a Chrysler Cordoba or some car that wasn't a great car when it was new and maybe wasn't the most loved car. But they said, "You know what, I'm going to bring it to the car corral." And they sold it that afternoon while they were there, and they were happy with the amount they got for it. And the person was happy with the car. So there's all kinds of different stuff that shows up, and people can do a lot with it. So if you want to bring a car, there's probably still room. And and check it out. It's just a good thing. And the club phone number is 781-459-8800, it says here on the brochure. So
right.
Yep.
And it has also an email of
bsaac.com.
So it's easy to get in touch. There's pre-registration till the end of June.
Yep.
And that's reasonable for $15, $20 admission day of the show. $10, 10 o'clock you should be on the field for judging.
Yeah, no, and it's a fun thing, and if you want to email, it's info@bsaac.com. The website's bsaac.com, and all kinds of everything from, there's a Model A class, which I think is kind of fun too. There's a Woody class, there's T-Birds, Corvettes, Mustangs, all kinds of stuff, and now over the past few years, you added Pro Street Street Rods Customs and Kit Cars.
That's right, and if you can drive it in, we'll find a place for you.
So if it's something pretty or unusual, you'll find a place to park it, huh?
Absolutely.
John, a pleasure as always. Good luck with the show. You'll see me there probably around 10:30.
I'll make sure to have your place all sweeped out, and the reception committee will be ready.
There you go. If you could get cheerleaders, that would be good, too. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, John. Take care. Bye-bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us. And if you have a car show you want to promote, whether it's a big, great big gigantic show like the Bay State Show or the Endicott Estate Show or something like that, you can always call me or email me and be happy to talk about it. I think the big car show at Patriot Place was this past Thursday. They alternate Thursdays now at Patriot Place. I think they're over at the Raynham Dog Track in the off time. They used to be over at Southeastern Votech, but I think it kind of outgrew that. So, but fun stuff nevertheless. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Robert in Tingsboro. Robert?
Hello.
Hey,
how you doing?
There you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it was dead silence there for a minute. You were just talking about, collector cars and such. Just want to let you know, my son-in-law and I went to Barrett Jackson yesterday.
Oh, did you? What'd you buy me?
Well, I couldn't buy me, never mind. There were a few I'd like to have bought, but...
I came home last night after being at the Lars Anderson Museum, and I turned the TV on, and I think I watched the auction till 11.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I just kind of got sucked into it, and some of the stuff looked actually pretty economical.
Yeah. We didn't go into the block very long. We went there near the end, but we went through the garage, okay?
Yep.
One of the garages, four floors, nothing but cars that were going to go through the block.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was 400, 500, 600 of them, but yeah, there was a lot of them. Yeah, the price was 15 to maybe 22,000.
Yeah.
Was the selling price?
No, I saw something the other day. somebody I know was down there, and they posted a couple pictures. And it was not that this was a great car, but it was sort of weirdly interesting. It was a Chrysler Maserati. So it was sort of a Chrysler LeBaron with supposedly a Maserati engine in it. And I'm not sure it really was, but it but they called it a Chrysler Maserati, and it had a hardtop convertible roof on it with the porthole window, which made it kind of unique, but you could take the hardtop off. And the, it looked in really, really good condition. It only sold for $3,000.
Wow.
So, you know, if you were, you know, if you were looking for kind of a gussied up, you know, LeBaron with a little bit different engine in it, and for $3,000, it looked clean and shiny and, you know, seemed to run okay. So, you know, you look at that kind of stuff. And then somewhere in there, there's a bunch of automobile memorabilia and stuff too, right? Isn't there Petroliano?
They actually auctioned that first before they went on camera, you know, at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I guess from 1 to 2 they had memorabilia.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were, you know, the three, you know, manufacturers, you know, performance cars, Dodge, Chevy, and Ford, they had drive and ride programs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were, it was nice. It's just it, the line getting on isn't so much of a problem. There was three other lines you had to go through, you know.
Oh, okay.
Release forms and information and all kinds of other stuff, you know, all online. So you.
Well, they want to make sure. They want to make sure if you die, your family doesn't sue you. Yeah.
It was awesome. We did the Mustang one.
Yeah.
I was really wanting to do the Dodge because they were drifting.
Oh, really?
Oh, I mean, smoke. They were replacing tires on a regular basis. I mean, nothing but smoke and the open exhaust. I mean. I just didn't want to wait in them all those lines yet again. You know, I figured I want to see everything else in the show, but it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I saw another picture of Wayne Carini was up on stage with somebody doing some kind of show about, you know, how to get, you know, get into the collector car game or what to look for or something. So
I did happen to see that. That's the segment we're in. He was auctioning off a 71 Corvette. It was kind of gold. It was for charity. And he was up on stage. And what is it? Mike Brewer from some other.
Oh, Mike Brewer from the English
Wheeler
show.
Wheeler Dealers.
Yeah. So he.
Yeah, he was there, too. And even old Slick there from the Gas Monkey.
Oh, was. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, he was a paid spokesman with Chrysler for a while, so I guess that makes sense. So they had TV celebrities there, and Mike Brewer. I looked him up one time. He owns two pretty substantial used car dealerships in England. So
oh really I could tell the voice. I couldn't see him at first. Yeah. I could hear him. You know, so expressions.
So Mike Brewer's bigger than you think he is, and Wayne Carini's smaller than you think he is.
Actually, I knew Wayne was probably like 5'6", 5'5". I didn't know that. But I wasn't sure. A lot of these other guys, they look like they're tall. And then when you see them, they're only 5'8".
Well, the guy who was the guy who used to do the show with Mike Brewer, the guy who's not on it anymore, he was like 6'8". That's why he never really fit in anything. And the replacement guy is also pretty tall, and I think Brewer's like 6 feet tall or something.
Yeah, that's not a bad show. I watched that a lot.
Yeah, no, I kind of liked it when it was more the English show because you'd see the cars from England that, you know, or Europe that I'd never see you know, when they restore, you know, when they go find a, you know, an AMX or a Mustang or a Dune Buggy or something, it's like, you know, I see those cars, you know, show me something I haven't seen.
The highlight for me was Factory 5. They had a lot of turnkey cars there, somewhere else assembled. Yeah, they've got, you know, the 33 Roadster.
Yep.
I saw that. That's it. It's dark blue, you know, Jaguar rear end, Coyote engine.
Yep.
But they have a pickup now.
I just heard about the pickup. It's supposed to be pretty nice.
Yeah, that looked pretty. They had one, like a cutaway, partially construction. They had a complete one. But that 33 Roadster, I asked the guy, because it was another company that did the full assembly. I said, what's the price of a turnkey for this? He says, $70,000.
Oh, all right.
Which, you know, it's a lot of money. It's out of my league. But it wasn't that much for something that's hand-built. I mean, this is all modern drivetrain.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
The Mustang was, you know, it had the 6-speed. It had Wilwood brakes all around. I mean, I saw that. I said, that's my car.
No, the Factory 5 car, I think Factory Five's got something going on in the next couple of weeks, I think, too. But they're you know, they're an interesting company, and you know, Dave Smith, who's the owner of the company, he's sort of a California surfer who ended up here in New England and believes that everything in life is somehow connected together. So if he met you somewhere along the line, he would think that somehow something you did and something he did would interact again in the future. And in a lot of cases, he's right.
Yeah, well, we both like Ford.
Yeah.
Even though I like the other products, too.
But, yeah. It's funny. Of all the different cars that I've driven, I've never driven a Factory 5 car. And he's invited me down to drive them before, but I've never driven one. But it's,
you got to do that.
Yeah. No.
If I had an invite, I'd be there.
Yeah. In fact, I saw one of his cars out on the road the other day, and I kind of felt bad for the guy because it was Thursday afternoon. He was stuck in traffic on 495. And, you know, of all the cars, Dennis was talking earlier about you get used to luxury and technology. The Factory 5 cars don't have luxury or technology, and sitting behind a hot engine on top of hot exhaust in a hot sunny night,
and the roof was
with no roof. It can be a little tough. Hey, Robert, always a pleasure.
Thank you, John.
All right, take
you
care.
Too.
Yep,
bye-bye.
Bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Mike in Bridgewater. Michael?
Yes, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing okay. You know, for a cloudy day. What's the financial guy say? I'm doing better than I deserve.
Yeah. Yes.
You're the second one that said that to me in my presence today.
Really?
Yes. For that financial guy.
Oh, yeah, Dave Ramsey.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, everybody says to him, "How you doing?" He goes, "Better than I deserve." Of course, he's a multimillionaire and lives on the ocean in California, and I don't. But anyway.
Yeah, and it's easy to say when you've got that situation.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, moving right along, John. I took one of those, your AAA Roadwise driver for mature operators last week. And it was really good. I'm glad I did it. It was interesting. But there were a couple of situations and questions that came up, and I thought I would ask you about them.
Where did you take it?
In South Attleboro.
Oh, okay.
With Mr. Hansen.
Dave Hansen, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So the question came up. If your car is parked on the side of the road, ignition off,
mm-hmm.
and you get hit by a car, front, back, whatever, will the airbags deploy?
No. No, only on television.
Okay. So
that only happens on TV for some reason. In fact, there was some TV show that showed somebody going around with a baseball bat hitting people's front bumpers, causing airbags to go off. For the airbag to actually deploy, three things have to happen. The car has to be in motion, it has to hit something at a certain speed, and it has to hit something at a certain angle. So if you're there with the key off, now firefighters and EMTs and those kind of people, they actually cut the battery cables in the car, because if they're fishing around inside the car and they short some wires together, they can get the airbag to go off. But as far as if you're sitting in your car and, you know, you're sitting by the side of the road and you get slammed from behind or something, that airbag, unless something freaky happens where something shorts out, it's not designed to go off in that situation.
Okay, because we weren't sure about that, because,
yep.
you know, you've got accessories running, clocks and things.
Yep.
The electricity's still going there. But
no, it's got to have those other couple of criteria in place.
Okay, all right. And out of curiosity, if there was nobody in the driver's seat and the car was going by itself and those three things happen, it would deploy, or no?
If it's a newer car, it won't, because it knows that there's no one in the seat.
Got it.
Same thing. If you put a, you know, if you put a 50-pound child in the front passenger seat, the airbag's going to know they're not heavy enough to deploy the airbag.
Okay, that's the light that's typically on the dashboard.
Yep.
Okay,
exactly. Yep.
If I may, the second situation in the video that they were showing, talking about if your brake system should fail, you've got your emergency brake, and of course it shows the one that was always in the center console,
right.
and. It shows you hold, you press your foot, thumb on the button and hold it and pull it up and down and it works. Then it showed the foot brake on the left side and it showed you pushing down, but holding on that pull, release, brake lever that was always on the dash. Well, ask the question, what about the foot brake that now is on a lot of cars where you push down on the brake, it engages, but in order to disengage it, you have to push all the way down. And the question came up, how do you deal with it in that situation? And coincidentally, in the video, it showed the on-off brake there, but it didn't address the that issue. So how would you use the left foot emergency brake if you don't have something to...
Some of those, they're all a little bit different, but some of those, you apply the brake and then you just like push on it again lightly and it will release?
Yes.
So it really depends on the car. What you don't want to do is you don't want to jam on the parking brake and have the car start this, because if it locks up the rear wheels, it's going to skid. So that's the whole thought behind that is, you know, if you do all of a sudden, if you're going fast enough and you have to get to the point where you need to lock up, you know, apply the parking brake to bring the car to a stop, you know, you kind of do it gradually. If I was in that situation, I would do everything I could to slow the car down before using the parking brake. So I would pump the brake pedal, say a brake line broke. I would pump the brake pedal, try to get a little more braking action. I would downshift to try to slow the car down. And now maybe I'm down to 20 or 25 miles an hour. Then I would slowly ease down the parking brake to the point, even if it was one that was hard to re-release, I would ease down the parking brake to get the car to slow down. And you know, and if I had to, would I push it down all the way and have the wheels lock up and hope for the best? Yeah, I think that's what I would do. It was funny, in the video that you have never seen, the video before this one, there was always a thing, it always made me laugh. It always said, you know, try to drag your wheels against a curb, even run into bushes or a small tree. And the small tree was about 8 inches in diameter. And I'm like, no, you don't really want to hit that tree. That tree's going to be too big to hit. So, but yeah, I mean, the good thing is on cars today, and why we put that in, a lot of GM and Ford cars, especially from the 90s, have had brake lines that are starting to rust away, and you'll lose 70% of your braking. But most of the time, you still have a little bit of braking power left. By pumping the brake, you'll get a little bit more effort. But if you can slow down to a point of, you know, 15 or 20 miles an hour, and then even if you just applied the parking brake at that speed, yeah, the rear wheels are going to chirp and the car's going to lock up the wheels. But on the other hand, you're not going fast enough for the tail to come out and have it spin. So you just have to be careful.
Got it. I will say this, after taking that class, the idea of relearning hand position on the wheel 4 and 8 is kind of different. You know, you find yourself going back to the old
10 and 2 position was really about cars with no power steering and hand over hand, and it was all upper body and shoulder strength. And now where cars have power steering, move your hands down away from the airbag. So 4 and 8 or 3 and 9, either one is acceptable. But you want to keep your hands away from the airbag just in case you do hit something and the airbag deploys. You want to keep your hands away from that kind of zone where you could possibly get hurt.
Yeah. Hey, it's a good question. I'm glad I could. A lot of questions.
Glad Dave Hansen did a good job. He's been a driver ed teacher for 25 years. So.
Yeah. He was a really knowledgeable gentleman. I really enjoyed
the
class. And I will say this, John. I want to thank you very much for the Real ID AAA, because I walked by the Rainham office and the line was out the door. And I ended up going. It was 20 minutes. I was in and out. A few weeks back when you mentioned it. Yeah. So I thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, in fact, in some of the really busy offices now, like Westwood is one of them, and it may have happened Friday, we're putting a second computer terminal in to try to speed up the lines a little bit. The registry is allowing us to do that, I guess, provided we pay for it. But we're going to do it to try to keep the lines down. And, for instance, in Plymouth, I was talking to somebody in Plymouth the other day. They said there was two or three people waiting in line, took a few minutes, and they were done. So, yeah. You know, it's something if you need it. You know, when my license goes to expire in 2020, I think I'm going to do it in 2019 before the 2020 rush. So.
Yeah, it was your advice that you mentioned about the year ahead, and I thought, why not do this?
Why not?
So, fine. It was great.
All right.
I appreciate it very much, John. Thank you, Conley. Have a good day, sir.
Take care, Mike. Bye-bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Frank in Wellesley. Frank?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm going to be attending the Bedfield on the Charles show tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yes. And I started listening to you about a half hour ago, so I don't know whether you mentioned it.
I didn't. Tell me about the show.
Well, our good friend Charlie Harris,
mm-hmm.
who traditionally had put on the Elm Bank one,
yep.
is now, this is the third year of the Medfield Hospital show.
Yeah.
And I've been there, this will be my third year there, and I always enjoyed the Elm Bank one, which was closer to my house, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be bringing my International Harvester Scout 74 to the show tomorrow.
One of my favorite cars, by the way.
Well, I don't know. I bought one new. I've had it forever.
Yeah. No, they're just neat cars. And is this the show that also promotes men's health? As part of the show,
that I'm not sure.
I think so. I think as part of it, that's the.
I mean, we've got probably 20 different sponsors.
Yep.
One being Corcoran and Havlin Insurance here at Wellesley.
Yep.
And many other sponsors.
Well, no, that sounds great. This is car show season, and it's always great to go out and meet people with fun cars and talk to people about their cars, because people like to talk about their cars.
I attended the Father's Day in Hyannis last weekend. That was big.
It was big. I didn't go, and I heard there was so many cars, they actually ended up having to park some of them off-site because it was
Well, there are many side streets that intersect Main and Hyannis, which is a one-way.
Yeah.
And there were cars all over the place.
Yeah, no, that is a good show, and I was just lazy last. I was 15 minutes away, and I was just lazy. I don't know why I didn't go. I should have gone.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the name of your show that you're on right now?
Right now, it's called the Car Doctor Program, and it's here every Saturday from 8:30 to 10.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
I'll have to listen again.
All right.
By accident, I happened to tune it in this morning.
Well, thank you very much.
First time, man.
All right.
This is excellent.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye. 617-770-3030. I always like new listeners, and I always like when they can promote things that are going on. That's good, too. Let's talk to Jim in Quincy. Jim?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
You were mentioning Factory 5, and I think last weekend they had an open house at their site, but I think maybe the end of the month they're having a Factory 5 day at the Newport Car Museum.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, I knew it was something coming up, but I haven't had time to be able to look it up. But yeah, and the Newport Car Museum, we had Gunther on the show, the guy who owns it, back I don't know, a couple months ago, and I was talking to somebody who was there just a week or two ago, and apparently it's a phenomenal museum.
It is. I went just after it opened. I just happened to be down in that area, and the show and the cars and the quality were just outstanding.
Yeah, and the cars in the museum are all the owner's cars.
And he was there that day, too.
Yeah. I guess his
character.
Yeah, I guess he owns American Rocksall Company in New York.
Oh, I didn't know what it was, but there was a story about him there and his own collection, and he wanted to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's in a beautiful building, plenty of parking. It's great.
Yeah, I don't quite know how he got to call it the Newport Museum when it's actually in Bristol, but
well, it's near Newport.
Yeah, and you know, and now
there's another.
Now he's got that famous neighbor. What's his name? Jay Leno. Yeah. Jay Leno bought three quarters of a house
for $12 billion.
Yeah, I think it was $8.5 million. Yeah, yeah. But he shares the property with the guy who owns the. I think it's the guy who owns the Providence Bruins, which is sort of weird. Yeah, it's I don't quite understand it, and I didn't quite understand the whole footprint of it. But it's it's almost like a shared condo sort of thing. But yeah, you know, $8 or $10 million or whatever it costs. So
there is another car museum in downtown Newport, which I haven't been to, but that's a different name. But I was actually calling to ask you a question about a 2012 Ford Focus.
Sure.
That's been sitting for 4 or 5 years, and I wonder what your thoughts were about trying to resurrect it.
Depends. Has anything been done to her, or has it just been basically shut off for 5 years?
Shut off and sitting.
Yeah.
Nothing's been done.
Yeah. Well, the gas is garbage in it, so I wouldn't even want to run it at this point. I would want to try to drain the gas tank and kind of purge the fuel lines and get all that old varnishy, stinky gasoline out of it. I would want to probably pull the spark plugs out of it and just fill the cylinders with oil. Chances are it's not seized up. Is it indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Outdoors. So there's probably a pretty good chance the brakes are all rusted frozen. So it may need, you know, it may need rotors and calipers, because they're, you know, they, you know, today's brake rotors rust sitting over a weekend. You let them sit for 4 or 5 years. The rotors are all going to be rusty and the calipers are going to be probably stuck in place. So there's, you know, there's, you know, $1,000 worth of work to do to it just to see if it's worth it afterwards.
Yeah. Someone mentioned all the rubber plastic hoses and a light from just sitting.
Yeah, I mean,
not being used.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, those are actually going to be probably better than some of the other stuff because, you know, they're designed to be outside. They're designed to age. So, I mean, they're just 5-year-old rubber and plastic parts. So they're not going to be as bad as the mechanical stuff that hasn't moved in 5 years. You know, mechanical parts are meant to move. And when they sit in one spot for a long time, that's where the problems happen.
Tires will be bad too.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. You know, even if they were, you know, if this was put away or just, you know, shut off, you know, 5 years ago and it only has, you know, 5 or 6,000 miles on it, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be 5-year-old tires that are all flat spotted and probably all cracked and weather checked from being outside. So, you know, although the tires probably hold air and they might look okay, they would probably be noisy as can be and probably fail pretty quick. You know, if this was a car you could get for free or almost free and send it to somebody and have them go through it, you'd probably end up with a decent enough car afterwards. The other concern I would have is Ford products, for one reason or another, tend to attract critters. And the Ford products use a lot of soy-based materials in the seats rather than use a petroleum-based wiring insulation. They use a soy-based wiring insulation, and mice and other little critters like to eat the insulation off, and you know, you may find out there's some electrical problems. So I mean, it's one of those things, you got to spend a little time with a bright flashlight and look around under it and see what it's like. And you know, I like I said, probably the engine's not stuck, but on the other hand, I wouldn't want to just throw a battery in it and crank it over and see if it starts up, because you'd probably do more damage that way. I'd want to drain the fuel, change the fuel filter, purge the fuel lines out of it, put fresh fuel in it, and then, like I said, lube up the cylinders, and then try to start it and see if it starts, and then figure out where you are from there afterwards.
Would the injectors be stuck with the gas from sitting too?
You know, they might be, but probably not.
do they self-drain after a while?
Yeah, or? I mean, eventually they do, but there, you know, there's such a small amount of fuel in there. Usually all it takes is some fresh fuel to run through it, and you know, maybe a little bit of injector cleaner if one of them is dribbling or stuck or something, but not stuck enough where it won't fire over and run. So.
So the gas in the tank and the fuel lines.
Yeah, fuel lines. I'd want to get to. Yeah, and like I said, it's going to, you know, right off the bat, you know, battery, drain the tank, drain the lines. You know, if you sent it to a garage to do it, you're going to spend, you know, half a day's worth of labor just to see what kind of shape it's in. If you did it yourself, you're going to spend a day of tinkering around plus a battery and, you know, and a bunch of work. So
yeah,
has it got any miles on it?
A very few. It's got less than 20.
Yeah. So I mean, it, you know, if you were looking for something to do on a Saturday morning, I guess it would give you something to do for a while.
But then if you got it working, you'd end up with a Ford Focus, and I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the other problem, you know. So, you know, but if you wanted a car for you know, a summer car or a winter car or, you know, something just to kick around in as an economical little car. Yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, it's still going to be a Ford Focus. So,
well, I appreciate
okay.
it. Thanks, John.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to our buddy Rick. Rick?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm glad.
Yeah, well, So 2 days ago, I ran into a road rage incident. So I got maybe a suggestion for somebody that might help them out in the future.
All right, go ahead. Tell me about the situation first.
The situation was that I dropped my grandson off at school, and I was headed back to my house. I was traveling down a two-lane road,
yep.
And this guy, and I was doing the traffic, going with the flow traffic,
yep.
But I wasn't tailgating. No space between me and the car in front.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The guy behind me was so close that I could not see his headlights, and he was swerving back and forth trying to get past me. And I lightly tapped the brakes twice to say, hey, back off. Give me
yep.
some space.
Yep.
Well, we came to an intersection. I turned left. This guy gunned it, passed me on my left-hand side while we're taking a turn with oncoming traffic. And threw a
did he wave at you? Did he wave at you? Oh no, he actually threw something at you.
Yeah, I give the guy credit. He had a good throwing arm. He got a water bottle through his car window and through the my driver's window and hit me with it. And while he was passing me,
did you write down his plate number and send it to the police?
No, I didn't get the plate number in that, but if you think somebody's going to be nasty to you, Matt, I suggest you have your
windows up.
Window rolled up.
I mean, there's just a bunch of jerks out in the road, and, you know, and why, you know, especially right out of a school zone, you know, just, you know, I stopped for somebody in a crosswalk the other day, and the person laid on their horn, passed me on the left on a double yellow line, and there was a 10-year-old girl in a crosswalk. You know,
yeah. I left out the double yellow line part, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice. Well, keep your windows up.
Yeah, if you think somebody's going to get nasty, get hot for a few seconds, say, well, until he passes you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Rick. Bye. Bye. 617-770-3030. I don't know. Just people are idiots. That's all there is. Let's talk to Dale in Westwood. Dale.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Enjoying the summer.
Well, it's like 60 degrees out, right?
Yeah, really. It feels like fall for sure. I had a question about tires and replacement tires on a 10-year-old car.
Sure.
It's a Honda Coupe.
Mm-hmm.
Has 100,000 miles on it,
yep.
And I've replaced the tires once already with the same tires the car came with.
Okay.
So they need to be done again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a little pricey, and I'm thinking that maybe there'd be a less expensive alternative, although I don't want to, you know, change the driving feel of the coupe, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
So just wondering, would you recommend getting the same tires? Or
yeah, I mean, you could go out and you could go out and buy a Chinese tire, a Sailun tire, and you could probably buy it for, you know, 60% of the price of whatever the tires are that you have on your car that are a speed rated tire. You probably have it's probably the next level up speed rated. It's probably a little bit more aggressive tread, so it handles a little bit better. And you could do that, but you're going to start to compromise the handling of the car. I would go with something similar to what you have, maybe not the exact thing. And, you know, could you go with maybe a Korean tire like a Kumho or something like that, that originally were sort of bargain price tires that now are actually have improved a lot, and you could save a little bit of money. But if your car has whatever Goodyears or Michelins or Bridgestones,
Michelin.
And if you're happy with the Michelins and they lasted, you know, a good 5 or 6 years and you were comfortable with them the entire way, I think I'd be tempted to replace them with the same ones.
Yeah. Yeah. They did work out well for the second round.
I know it's funny. My old car that I had, I replaced the tires with, I think it came with Bridgestones when it was new. After about 45,000 miles, they needed to be replaced. I replaced them with a tire that was probably this next grade down. They were fine. They were okay. But like winter weather traction wasn't quite as good as the original tires were. And then just before I got rid of the car, I actually said, you know what? I'm going to keep this car for a while. I'm going to put Michelins on it. And I ordered up a set of Michelins for it. Then I sold the car, and then I sold the tires with the car. So I never actually get to enjoy the new set of tires I was going to put on it. So, but, you know, Michelin, you know, it's pretty hard to argue with the quality of Michelin tires. Michelin makes some of the best tires on the planet. Quality-wise, they're always first rate, and they do such, they're far less troublesome than a lot of other tires on there. So again, if you're happy with them and you plan on keeping the car another 3, 4, 5 years, I think I'd put the same ones back on.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best route to go. Yeah, I do have a Kia also that have those Nexon tires on, the Korean tires, which they're decent.
They're all right.
They seem to be a little not quite as durable, you know?
Right, yeah. And you know, a little bit of you get what you pay for, so.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, okay, Jonathan.
All right, thanks, Dale. All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Do we need to take a break there?
We do have another break, yes.
All right, why don't we take that quick break? When we come back, if we have time, I think we have Paul and Braintree kind of hanging on the line. Paul, stay right there. And speaking of Paul Sullivan's here apparently getting dressed in the studio, so... I don't know. We'll be right back.
Let him go on compression. Listen to him talk, my 426 superstar.
Jack on the dash at the cheater slits.
And welcome back. We moved some microphones around. Dennis got all confused. So, three microphones. You had a choice of three. So, let's talk to Paul. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm waiting for the bell to ring.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be watching Barrett Jackson on TV. I just saw it online. I said, oh, maybe, you know, I'll take a short trip over. General admission tickets, seating not guaranteed,
right.
$70 each.
And apparently they sell out.
Well, yeah, well, good. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad someone will do that.
Yeah, no. It's
not going to be me.
Yeah, it's the thing of it is, though, as much as you can buy tickets for it, apparently there's also a million comp tickets around somewhere too, is what I've been told. Oh. So, but last year, I know the first year, I guess, one of my coworkers and his dad went, and they made a whole weekend. You know, they stayed at the hotel. You know, but by the time they were done, before they even thought about buying a car, I think they spent about $2,000. So.
Wow, I would only be looking.
Yeah,
fine, but
yeah.
But still be fun. But I guess maybe that's the average. I mean, a movie ticket is $20 now.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean,
that's not really too much. But
yeah.
No.
And they claim, they claim it's really good. I've never been. And everybody tells me I should go just to go check it out. But I know. Santos, who used to be here, I made an arrangement for him to go, and he said it was phenomenal. He said it was fantastic. I think I had to call him our social media content manager or something for him to get in. But
I'll catch up on cable. Oh, by the way, your column's not on the Globe this morning.
It's not?
No.
I didn't buy the Globe this morning. I got to find out what's...
Yeah, it's not in there. There's a large article comparing the Subaru... to the new the Subaru wagon to the new Buick. Edmunds compared the Subaru Outback to and Buick's Regal Tour X.
Well, I know they got it.
Well,
so.
It's not what it used to be.
I know.
Well, they don't have any.
I know. I'll have to. Well, send them some mail. Send them an email and ask them where my column is.
They've been dropping a few sections. There's no longer the Globe South anymore.
Right.
And there's no Thursday Scene. I've written to them a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, the crickets. They don't even want to answer.
Yeah.
So
no.
Something's going on with the Globe.
Positive. Well, tell them you missed me.
Oh, I will. I will. Right. I'll do it right now.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye. Well, I'm glad I didn't spend the money on buying the Globe this morning. I was going to buy it on the ride home, but usually I pick it up on the way. I usually stop for 99-cent coffee at Cumberland Farms because
mm-hmm.
I'm frugal
mm-hmm.
and buy the paper. But today I ate poorly at McDonald's.
What does that entail, eating poorly at McDonald's?
I had a McGriddle.
Oh, those are so good.
Yeah.
And so bad.
And so bad.
Yep.
So there you are. There you are wearing your new Irish Hit Parade, Feast of Irish Music, WROL shirt, AM 950, and 100.3 FM shirt.
That's what I was going to say, because the old ones are now obsolete because they don't have mention of the new FM.
Well, signal. I don't know if they're obsolete. They're vintage.
Yeah.
And you just so happen to wear a hat that matches your shirt.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You came in like they left that shirt here for you.
It had my name on it.
Did it? I thought it had my name on it. I almost walked out with it.
Too big for you.
Paul? John Paul? You could have argued for it.
Where's mine?
I'm sure that there'll be... This is the development, the prototype.
Well,
it might not be mine. I don't know. But now we've told everyone that
now
I
now you
have
told
it on,
everyone, and you're wearing it.
Eminent domain, folks.
Yeah. Possession is 9/10 of the law.
And if you're not around, possession is 10/10.
10/10 of the law. And especially, it's on your body. It's not like it's in your back.
No one's going to want to have any part of this now. So I knew that when I put it on, by the way.
So what's up for the Irish Parade today?
Well, it's kind of late June day. It's rain. This would be called, a soft day over in the old sod.
Is that what it'd be called? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's a little warm for that, but, there's rain in the air.
Yeah.
It's kind of in the doldrums of late June. Yeah. School's getting out.
I'm
not principal anymore.
Oh, you're not principal anymore?
Nope.
Have you retired?
No. Well, I've stepped away from the principalship.
Yeah. So that
but I'm still gainfully employed. Yeah.
Well, the good thing is that means you have the summer off.
No, it doesn't.
Oh,
because
try again.
The gainful employment entails another project that I'm working on.
Oh, okay.
But I will take some time off.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so. Yeah.
Principal's a rough job. Anybody thinking of getting into it? Understand that it's a rough job.
It's a calling.
No, it's a calling. It really is. There are some people who are nobly inclined toward it and good at it. I wasn't one of them.
Well, you were probably good at it. It was just—it's stressful.
It's questionable.
Well, it's not like they asked you to leave.
No.
If you weren't good at it, they would have asked you to leave.
Yeah. Well, no. It's a hard job. Not, a lot of people were lining up for it. Not that many.
Anyway, the piano guy's playing,
oh,
which means...
I can't hear him.
Which means the very best in Irish music is coming up, and I have to go. So, Paul Sullivan and the very best in Irish music with the Irish Hit Parade.
Up in the Globe.
Coming up next. Until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.